podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the Anfield Wrap on Radio City Talk before Liverpool play Manchester City this weekend. Neil Atkinson, John Gibbons, Adam Smith and Carl Kopak. And to come in part two, I've got Heather Carroll talking about Liverpool ladies playing Everton ladies this weekend at Widnes. That's the 2pm kickoff. And in part three, after 7 o'clock, after your news at 7, I'm talking to Sean Rogers about Manchester City versus Liverpool. So it's a cast of thousands this week on City Talk, which is very much the way we like it. But if we can do a little mild, tender moment. John, have you got one in you?
Always.
This is the week of our five-year anniversary doing things for Radio City Talk. Isn't that nice?
It's unbelievable how quickly it's gone. It's unbelievable that they put us on the radio. But it's been great. It's been a really nice experience for us. We talk about it all the time. There's nothing more exciting and fun than live radio. It's probably one of my favourite parts of my job. So it's nice one to City Talk for putting us on and for all the help they give us as well. I think they've made us kind of better at the other aspect of our job, the podcasting and stuff like that, and generally the pretending to be journalists. So nice one to them. It's been boss. So cheers, and hopefully people have enjoyed it.
I hope people have enjoyed it as well. So yeah, very, very, very thankful to Radio City Talk for putting us on in the first place, and then for persevering with us when they might have thought, what on earth are these people doing now? All wonderful stuff. Thank you very much indeed. So moving forward to the show this week, Adam Smith and Carl Kopak with me. And this, I feel, Adam, and I'm throwing it out there, next two games will define a great deal. They'll define... If Liverpool were to take 6 points from the next two games, I would be very much of the view that they have to throw away a top four finish.
Yes, I think that's exactly true. And I think that... I think it's doable. I think 4 points would be not disgraceful. And I think that one of the biggest challenges potentially to a top four finish might be whether or not Manchester United decide to throw all their eggs into the Europa League basket, which is looking more and more likely now, a little bit like we did last season. And if it can end like it did for us last season, that'd be great. So it does feel, a tad like the 4 points out of 6 would be good, 6 would be amazing, 3 would be okay, because I think City is a tough challenge, which we'll talk about later, and anything less than that is a little bit of a, where it's going to be a bit of a bun fight to get into the top four, I think.
I think it's the moment, John. First, I mean, every season's got one where you obviously the your expectations and your demands sort of shift, and I'm mostly, if you grab me before Christmas in a season and you want to talk to me about the top four finish, I don't want to know. I want to talk about winning the league. But it then shifts, and Chelsea are over the hill. I think, we'd all broadly agree. City getting a draw and Harry Kane getting injured means it's unlikely anyone's going to catch them, let alone us. But it does feel especially significant this season, I think, in terms of recruiting the sort of talent that we want to recruit, being able to say to them, listen, we're not messing about here. But also, having watched this Liverpool side play really, really well in big games, it does make you think, well, if they can play really, really well in big games domestically, they can probably play really, really well in big games in a European stage, and wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, you'd love to see this team tested in the Champions League with two or three real quality additions. It whets the appetite, and I mean, whets the appetite of the players as well. And I think it's important for the players who are at the club as much as those who we want to attract to feel like progress is being made, and we're going to finish with more points than last season. That's going to happen, but if it's 20 points more but still sixth, I think it's still a bit of a kick in the teeth for the players, considering how hard they worked last summer and kind of how we were looking around November when we were all getting excited, as you say, about greater things than that. So I think it'd be really nice for the football club to finish top four, both in terms of what you get in terms of money and the fact that the Champions League is really good fun to play in, but also in terms of feeling like we're going forward, feeling like we're progressing under Klopp, because we obviously are, but it's nice to have that tangible thing that shows it.
What it feels like is important, Carl, and this is the other reason why I'm very into Liverpool finishing in the top four, and I'm actually really into Liverpool finishing third, to be honest with you, at least third, and it's because I actually think we're the third best team in the country, and if that's what it feels like to me, and to not get essentially for the league table to lie. The league table doesn't lie. We all know it does. We've all been around football long enough to know that sometimes it just does, and you've got to cop for that. But it would be nice for this season, as John says, the players worked stupidly hard in the summer. They were worked stupidly hard in the summer. They'll presumably be worked stupidly hard next summer. They've got to feel like, well, we got what we deserved. And if they're looking at each other by the end of the season and they've come third, and they can look around the dressing room, you can say, yeah, we dropped some silly points, boys. We know where we need to improve. We know what we need the gaffer to do in terms of bringing maybe another couple of quality lads in. But we're able to look at each other and go, we've got what we deserved, and wasn't it all worth it? Whereas if they do throw it away somehow from this position, then they'll be looking at each other going, well, I don't like him and I don't like him, and I'm looking at myself. And
it gets all self-blaming.
That's what I think we want, we want these lads to get what they deserve.
Yeah, because I think if we finish, I'm going to say second rather than third, but if we finish second or third, then I think there's a case of, it's the easiest thing to fix, really, because we just think, okay, well, if you finish second or third and you haven't beaten the people above you, then you think, well, that's a gap in quality that we're going to have to address and we're going to have to buy up from that. If you're second or third because you didn't beat Hull, then you need to look at that and think, well, surely that's the easiest thing to fix. And
we can address that ourselves.
Yeah, that's an easier thing to do, yeah. That's an intensity thing or a mental thing. Whereas if you can't say, if we lost twice to Chelsea, you're going to think, yeah, but they've got billions and millions of pounds they can spend, and we've just got to cheat to get to that level, and that's the way you'd have to do it.
It's a fair point that Carl makes there, John. You know, it's a very fair point indeed, that's being able to sort of look at each other and go, you know, we know what it is that we need to improve. It's an easily definable thing, but it's got to feel as though it's very much within the grasp of even the players who are there already before you even do talk about additions.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think what you've got to remember for some of these players is this is a group of teams who've consistently finished above them. And I think to finish ahead of two or three of those will feel positive to them too. If they do finish sixth, which is a fair possibility, and they're looking up a group of teams who've finished above them consistently over the last 5-6 years, bar one season. So it just starts to feel like, well, are we ever going to catch them? You look at the money, and everyone's going to improve in the summer. So if they get ahead of us in terms of transfers, in terms of things like that, you know, they should just spend quicker. Then it does change the feeling around the squad. And then, you know, when I've said it before on another show, you know, when Jürgen's basically killing them in Germany in the summer at this training camp, you know, you have to kind of see what it's all for and feel like you know what it's all for. And if they've been through it all last year and it's not quite worked out, then, you know, it's the motivation maybe lacking a little bit. Whereas if they've got Champions League football to look forward to, if they know, well this we did this, but it was all worth it last year because we got this prize, then I think it'll be a much easier summer for Jürgen Klopp and the coaches in every possible way.
I think if you're sitting at the beginning of the season, sorry, after the season, and you're in your pre-season training and you think, did we improve? And you think, we're above Man City in the league.
Yeah,
that's not nothing.
Yeah,
we've done all that, and they've got far more, they've got more advantages than we possibly have. That means something.
Well, on this, Adam, well, before, let's get beyond the Man City game and even the Everton game that follows. Liverpool then are at home to Bournemouth, away at Stoke, away at West Brom, home to Palace, away at Watford, home to Southampton, away at West Ham United, home to Middlesbrough. And this is why the next two are as significant as they are, in that if Liverpool can have that boost, then you're looking at those games, and then you're thinking about the games that the other sides who were duking it out for second down to sixth have got. And you remember the fact that a lot of them are still going to play each other. So even allow for one or two of them to go on a run. Well, they can't all go on a run, both in terms of the natural way in which competition and sport works, they can't. But also, well, they can't all go on a run because they've got to play each other, a lot of them. So they can't both win when they face each other. And so you do sort of think, well, if Liverpool can just find a way to get to break 60 points after 30 games, then it does give them that springboard to be able to say, well, you know, out of the remaining eight, we've just got to find a way to get 16 points, and that should be enough for us.
Yeah, and that's also in a way why the Burnley result was so important last weekend, because a lot of those teams you've just mentioned are in that kind of category, and the last thing we needed was this narrative to get any more legs than it's already got. So going into it knowing we've got, you know, games where they should be able to win and they should be able to pick up the requisite sort of 16 to 18 points. And as you say, you know, they've beaten Man City, they've beaten Everton. That's a big old plus, a big old, you know, plus in the positive section of the mentality of the players.
I'm speaking to Sean Rogers after 7 o'clock, and one of the things he says, John, is that he refers to this as our last free hit of the season, and that I think his point is that even if we don't get a result in this one, even if we get beat in this one, we're able to look at those games and think, well, we can still piece it together quite comfortably. We should still be able to find a way through all of this. And I think that's a really fair point, isn't it, that this weekend against Manchester City, they're the ones who've got the weight of the world on the shoulders, they're the ones who've suffered the reverse midweek. We can go into it thinking, well, let's enjoy ourselves, let's play our football, let's trust this manager who's got us through these games so many times that we can do it one more time this campaign.
Yeah, massively, I agree. It looked our hardest game of the, left in the season.
It could end up being our hardest game of the season, full stop.
Yeah, probably by quite a distance. And, you know, I refuse to kind of enter a world where, you know, a draw at Man City is a bad result. Yeah. You know, it's fine. And there's going to be a lot of twists and turns in this battle for top four. And you need to remember that. You know, last week you're thinking, well, you know, Tottenham are there, and then suddenly, you know, an injury to Harry Kane looks like, you know, very serious one, and so, and you know, things change very quickly. You know, similar with Manchester United, you know, they haven't had a good week all in all, really, and then they've got this really tough game Sunday now at midday, which is just scandalous that they've been given that. I mean, it's hilarious, but it is awful to do that to a football club. And so, you know, it's and they're gonna, you know, the game's thinking fast. Suddenly, you know, when you know, you're looking at those two clubs in particular, thinking, well, they're more likely than not to finish above us. Now you're looking at it and thinking, well, you know, we can get a head of steam over them. So it does change. So I don't want anyone to be too down.
It's
if we get a bit of a tonking at City.
But even on this, John, it is worth pointing out that one of the reasons why these sides are battling for the top four and not battling for the title is because they have all dropped points during the season.
Yeah, they've got problems.
So that's why every single one of these sides is capable of there still being twists and turns. That's my point. Yeah. None of them look like they're going to win 9 out of 9.
Yeah. I mean, the change for them between Liverpool is, I think both of those teams have overall got stronger as the season's gone on. And that's not necessarily the case for Liverpool. Our strongest moments were towards the start of the season, if not right at the start. And so that was what worried you slightly. But as you say, you know, it's people have good and bad moments throughout the season, and you know, who knows who's going to come into one next. And so you can't get hung up on one game. It's okay, well, how are we looking generally? You know, what are we likely to do over the next 3 or 4? And I'm sure they've got points targets for 3-4 games, chunks of games that they want to get to. And that's what it's all about. And if you slip up in one game, then you've just got to make it up in another.
This is the Anfield Wrap on Radio City Talk. Neil Atkinson, John Gibbons, Adam Smith and Carl Kopak. With you in a minute or two, speaking to Heather Carroll about Everton coming to Widnes to face Liverpool in the 5th round of the Ladies FA Cup.
Joined by Heather Carroll, as I said, to talk about Liverpool Ladies and to talk about the spring series and to talk about the game at the weekend. But first, Heather, I'm concerned. As a loyal supporter of Liverpool Ladies, it's a small squad.
It's a very small squad. I think a lot of the teams in the league this year have trimmed a little bit for the spring season. You've got like your Man City's and Chelsea's who are buying big name players, but teams like Liverpool, Notts County, Birmingham seem to have lost a few players and aren't really looking to add anything until the summer.
And let's be clear on the spring series. Normally the Liverpool Ladies play in the top flight of the Women's Super League. They play home and away across the course of a season. Because what they're trying to do is shift when that season takes place, to have it start from next season as September running through till May, what they've done is to put the spring series in place, where it's only simply 9 games for the top flight, 10 teams in the league, 9 games where Liverpool are playing 4 at home and 5 away. That's what's happening this season, so therefore Liverpool don't feel as though they need as big a squad.
Yeah, it's 9 games in 6 weeks, and the 5 of the aways, we've got Yeovil away, Bristol away, Chelsea away and Arsenal away, so it was a lot of mileage as well in 6 weeks.
It's a good set of trips for you then.
It's a good set of trips, yeah.
You need to get yourself a decent coach, good vibe.
I do.
On this then, it's a funny issue, isn't it, really, the competition in that. It's how seriously it's being taken by where it isn't the proper league. And it's more than fair enough that that would be the conclusion where it's not the proper league. But what it is, it's a great opportunity for developments, for improvements, for Liverpool to showcase these players.
Yeah, I know Scott Rogers, Liverpool manager, has said in a few of his interviews that he's going to look at this spring series as a chance to integrate some of the development squads into the first team.
So is that why he has a small squad for this then, do you think?
Probably. I think that's probably why he's not really looking to add anything until the summer. Maybe he's going to see now which players are ready to step up, see what gaps there are, and then fill in from there.
Who do you think is ready to step up?
We've got a few talented players. There's a lot of them have come up straight from the Centre of Excellence as well, which is good, because obviously they've been at Liverpool for quite a few years. You've got Lizzie Gale, who's an attacking midfielder. Molly Green has been on the periphery, I think, of the first team squad for the last couple of seasons. She's been scoring in the friendlies that have been getting played behind closed doors. And you've got Megan Taylor, who's a versatile player. She can play centre midfield, or she's been playing centre back as well.
And they've kept hold of a few from last season as well, who were brought in at the start. Van der Sanden's still there, Chamberlain's still there in goal. She's possibly the best goalkeeper in the country, maybe the second best goalkeeper in the country. I'm sure she'd have an argument about it.
I'd argue she's the best, yeah.
Gemma Bonner obviously still around. There's loads and loads of... It seems as though when I'm talking about them slimming down the squad, the players they've actually let go are the ones who weren't involved at the tail end of last season. Is that like, for instance, Lund's gone and they couldn't really find a place for her, could they?
Yeah, Emma Lund, I think she really struggled. I don't know if she was injured at the start of the season. She didn't feature as much. She was not in the matchday squad towards the end of the season, then she was just on the bench. And then you had Mandy Vandenberg, of course, who had come in started the season at centre-back but then lost their place due to injury and couldn't get back in until Alex Greenwood went out and then filled in at full-back for the rest of the season, but she's gone off now as well.
Yeah, whereas noticeably, obviously, for instance, people like Sitara Murray, who finished the season really, really strongly, still there. Kate Longhurst, still there, still knocking around the place. There is, right the way through, there's the quality players who featured right the way through the campaign last season. They're still available to be watched week in, week out.
Yeah, or your key players, the ones that you wouldn't have wanted to lose after the season, they're still there.
And it's worth also pointing out, often we've had a bit of a gripe, you and I, but certainly me, in terms of the momentum of the ladies' season's never quite been there. So, for instance, two games in a month and then no game for 4 weeks and then a game back-to-back. The good thing about the spring series is the 9 games in 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. It starts in April and goes right the way through into the first week of June. It's an intense programme, but therefore what that means is people can get into a pretty solid rhythm of watching the games.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty full on. It's going to be a bit of a shock to the system, I think.
Will be for you, won't it? Yeah.
I'm used to one game a month. Now I've got 9. I've got these big long away trips. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be interesting to see if it does have an effect on the attendances as well. Even though there's only 4 home games, they are going to be quite close together compared to previous years. You know, we're going to have 4 home games in the space of 6 weeks, whereas usually you'd have 4 home games in the space of 4 months. So
I think it's a good thing. I think it means it gets people into the habit of going, and sort of, I think kickoff times are being consolidated as well, haven't they? Which feels as though, I mean, there was the FA, we're going to talk further on later shows as we move through the season on about sort of the shift in the FA policy and all of that sort of stuff. So we'll come on to that separately, but one of the issues has been, you know, you don't know when it's kicking off. It gets moved at relatively late notice. It's all really rather hard work, whereas they've consolidated this into, no, these are the games, this is what's happening, and then people can make a decision as to whether or not they want to go. So therefore, when we begin to talk about the spring series in earnest in a couple of weeks, we can actually say, listen, you've got 4 options here. Get down to one of them.
Yeah, I think what they've tried to say is it'll either be on a Wednesday evening or a Sunday afternoon at Liverpool. I think those are the 2 times that Liverpool said they want to stick to. Obviously, when you go to other teams, it depends on when they can get the pitch. So it depends on like their schedule. I know Archibald to Arsenal has been moved to a Thursday night because of the availability of the pitch. So that's how it works in the women's game as well. A lot of the times, the teams are playing at men's pitches at non-league sides. So it's a struggle to get the pitches sometimes.
Looking ahead to the weekend then, the Merseyside derby in the 5th round of the FA Cup. No suggestion of warm balls, but it is it's a huge game. It's good that it's happened in many senses. You know, it's a good sort of curtain raiser for the fact that the spring series is starting. But it's worth saying that maybe this is one of those seasons where the FA Cup is the bigger prize. You know, the spring series, because it isn't the full league programme, doesn't feel like a huge prize. Liverpool are in the 5th round against Everton, so it's an opportunity for them to go deep into the competition if they can get a result. But Everton are a good side and have managed to retain the core of their players as well.
Yeah, Everton have got a very strong team this year, I would say. I'd say that they would definitely finish towards the top of their spring series in WSL2. They've played 2 league games so far, won both, and they also beat Durham in the last round of the Cup. Won on penalties with a midfielder in goal, so they're high on confidence, I would say, at the moment.
Enjoying the football.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't enjoy that? What sort of side are you expecting Scott to pick then for the game against Everton at the weekend? What do you think is going to be his move, Scott Rogers?
I would say the side at the moment pretty much picks itself. We've got quite a small squad, so I would say if you're looking at the squad that you've got, you would be able to pick the starting 11 from that. I wouldn't be surprised to see Molly Green given a start up front. I know that she's been scoring a couple of goals in the pre-season friendlies that they've been playing. She's a great little striker with an eye for goal, and I think she would get she'd relish the opportunity to play against Everton if she's a Liverpool girl.
If they get the win against Everton, then it's into the 6th round pretty quickly, isn't it?
I believe when I was looking at the FA website last night, it's a week afterwards. I think it's the 26th of March.
So there's the opportunity to put before the spring series sort of really gets going to put a bit of a cup run together for Liverpool.
Yeah, we could be off to Yeovil again. Who knows? But we could get into the next round. And I also think the next round, I think the semi-finals are before the spring series starts even then. So you could be into, you know, the final of the FA Cup before the season starts.
No, it's a really good opportunity for people to get down. So it's this weekend. This game is this weekend at Widnes. It's free to season ticket holders at Anfield.
Free to Liverpool season ticket holders. And if you buy a spring season ticket for £15 from the club, you get access to FA Cup games and the league games as well.
Excellent. So you get both. And it's 2 p.m. Widnes.
2 p.m.
So there's plenty of time to watch that and then get ensconced safely in a pub before Liverpool play Man City at the Etihad.
Yeah, there's a bar at the ground as well. Demonstrating the bar after the game, yeah.
How many more options do you need?
That's what I'll be doing.
Always great to speak to Heather. We're going to speak to her more as the Spring Series gets going this season and looking to cover as many of those games as possible. She'll also be writing for the website, theanfieldwrap.com. If you can get down to witness at the weekend to support Liverpool ladies up against Everton, do so. There's an FA Cup to be won, don't you know?
It's the Anfield Wrap on Radio City Talk. This is Neil Atkinson, back in a minute with John, Carl and Adam. But before then, we're going to speak to Sean Rogers about this forthcoming game against Manchester City.
Neil Atkinson and Sean Rogers with you on Radio City Talk to have a chat about Manchester City versus Liverpool. And firstly, as ever, from the Manchester City perspective, Sean, when we're talking about this, and what gets my attention is this result against Monaco. Now, I wanted City to go deep into the tournament, and I thought they had an excellent chance of doing so because of the distraction element. Now it becomes a psychological thing, and you wonder whether or not you're going to get a Manchester City who are wounded and going to bounce back, a Manchester City who are going to maybe find it a little bit hard, a Manchester City who've got a bit of a funny record at home this season against the top six sides. For instance, they should have beaten Chelsea and lost 3-1. They should have beaten Spurs and drew 2-2. A wounded Manchester City. What sort of Manchester City do you think Liverpool are going to get?
I think we're going to see one that plays really well. I think Man City will play really well at the weekend. But what I do think is that they will be fragile. And I think I quite like my boxing analogies. And I think you're going to see them start the fixture well. But if we can give them a bloody nose, I think they're quite fragile. And I'd be surprised myself, not just because of what happened to me, but when you look at what happened to the City team this season. I think the thing with Pep is Pep's such an extraordinary manager, and he does things that are so unorthodox that I think that squad isn't built for to have Pep Guardiola as manager, and they're not going to change the manager. So you could have other managers in there, like there's some managers like Pellegrini and Ancelotti in particular, who go in and try and not rock the boat and keep things dead simple and just do the sort of standard normal thing and then rely on getting the maximum out of your best players and really managing them. Well, Pep's not like that, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if he has some kind of tactical surprise lined up for the weekend for a number of different reasons. I think one is that Liverpool's record against not just the top six but Manchester City in particular, especially with what happened to them this week, he's got to give his players a few... He hasn't got much training ground time, but certainly in the meetings, I think he needs to do something that just brings a bit of freshness to them, something different, and also gives them a reason as to why this is going to be different. Because, like you've rightly been suggesting there, City have played really well against a lot of teams in the top six, but they haven't always got the results that perhaps the performances deserve. And I think it's weird to think this about City, because I think this about Liverpool. But their biggest problem is they're not ruthless enough in both penalty areas. And actually, between both penalty areas, I would say that us and Manchester City are probably the two best football teams in the country. It's mad. You could make a case for neither of us finishing the top two in a mad way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on that, when you say the tactical surprise, for instance, everyone was surprised how aggressive and how attacking a lineup there was against Tottenham. But to me, that felt like, and this is what I think we'll see something similar, I'll be honest with you, on Sunday. I think if you can rely on your defence, then you can say you'll play a defensive game. You can, for instance, say we're going to go to Monaco and try to shut up shop and get out with the minimum amount of damage against the side that have scored the most goals in a top flight league in Europe.
Yeah.
You can try and do that. But you can't do that if you can't rely on your defence. And I thought what you saw against Spurs was a football team set up to say, well, the way in which we're going to defend is by having the ball in their half and scoring goals. And I wonder if we're going to get something quite similar on Sunday. I wonder if the solution becomes, lads, at some point this is going to click. I've got a centre-forward there who's capable of scoring four goals in a big game. He's done it before. We're going to go all out attack, and this is the thing I'm giving you to believe in. I'm going to give you the thing that you didn't do for me enough against Monaco. I want you to cut loose, and I want you to absolutely scare the life out of these. I wonder if that's what we'll see.
Yeah, I think they'll come out the traps really, really quick. It'll be interesting to see what we do, because to one extent, they could be at the most fragile in that 20 minutes in terms of them being open, and the game starts 0-0, and it's likely in the first few minutes to still be 0-0. So Liverpool have an opportunity to potentially say, well, you know, do we in the first 20 minutes make this a game of tennis and make it end to end? And so this is when City are going to be at the most open. And if we go 1-0 up there, that really does test Manchester City as a not just the players, it tests them as a football club, the manager, the backroom staff and the crowd. It'll be interesting to see what Liverpool's tactics are, because normally, you know, a Rafa or a Julio would go, do you know what, soak it up first 20 minutes. And Mourinho would say, soak it up first 20 minutes, time waste and kill it. I think with Jurgen, we've seen someone really willing to throw some big punches and to go out and say, no, you know, in these big games, you start fast. And if you don't get the first goal in the first 20 minutes, you at least cause enough trouble to make them second guess the manager's tactics a bit. And if you look at all our games against the top six, we've been a lot better for me in the first 20 minutes, especially at scoring goals. And I may be wrong statistically on this, this is just my feeling, than we have against, say, the bottom six, as an example. And I'm not too sure what the logic is behind that. I'm sure Jurgen doesn't know otherwise. He'd just have us starting dead well all the time.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be really interesting for Pep, because he's a winner, and I'm not sure how many winners he's got on his squad there. He's got a track record at most of the clubs he's been at for when he comes up against opposition that he respects. And I think he respects us as a football club, but as a team and as a manager in Jurgen Klopp, I think he's probably got as much respect for us as anybody in the country. And like when he used to play against Valencia, Barca wouldn't change the formation. They wouldn't change personnel as such, but they would dramatically change the tactics. So you might see, just because you see the team sheet and a sort of system on Sky, yep, of what you think City are going to line up in, Pep is so flexible with what he does. Like Valencia is an example. He'd say for the first 10, 15 minutes, we just play really long diagonals. We don't let Valencia press us. We don't let Valencia take the ball off us in those areas. And we have to get territory, and then we play in there half. And then we'll see how the game develops from then.
This is where
they may drop off a bit deeper.
This is where, for me, the two wide men for City are going to be really important. And they could be where the game's won and lost, in that it wouldn't surprise me if, when you mention those diags there, if the idea is turn Klein round, turn Milner round, get them going the way in which they don't want to be going, push them back, use the fact that you've got pace, use with Sane, the fact that he's a relatively big lad as well on top of everything else, you know, use all of that to try to force this Liverpool side back. It would not surprise me at all if we see a lot of that early.
I totally agree. It's weird in that, like, when I grew up, it was all about the sort of midfield domination in these kind of games, and you come up against, you'd have six quality midfielders of a type, shall we say, where it'd be really, really tight. This is weird. What I do actually think the key battles are going to be City's. I think it's going to be City's wide men against our fullbacks. Our front three have a tendency to cheat a little bit, particularly in these games, for periods. So I think how we deal with that is going to be crucial to how much joy City get. And from our perspective,
it's exactly the other way.
Yeah, and also I think it's also going to be interesting. Both sides are so dangerous breaking from central positions, and it doesn't really matter too much what combination of players they use. Certainly when De Bruyne plays central, and for us, you've seen it a bit more recently with Ronaldo. He's starting to grow into that a little bit more. Certainly with Lallana. That's good. For me, the two key areas are particularly Sané and Sterling against our fullbacks, because I don't think they're going to get much protection. They don't tend to in these fixtures. And I also think it's going to be whose defensive midfielders and back four get themselves set up right to just stop them breaks from the middle of the park, because that's where both teams have had so much. When us and City have been on it, we've torn people apart.
I think the other key battle for me is going to be Yaya Toure, Adam Lallana. I'll be intrigued to see if Guardiola decides to go with two in there.
Be surprised. I know. I mean, I was surprised he played, and he's played in some of the games against the top six. I thought he wouldn't play in a single game for Pep Guardiola against the top six. I thought he'd just play him as a flat track bully sort of thing. You know, City in the Champions League were playing Bournemouth at home on Saturday. Yeah, I mean, that to me is. You play Yaya Toure in that kind of fixture. Never say never. I'd still be really. I do not expect. I'd be surprised.
We didn't play him against Monaco. And that's the thing. He's rested him for the Monaco game. So it would then be a massive call with the international break coming to not use him again, to instead go with Fernandinho in there. Now, if it was me and it was a complete one-off game of football, you may go with Fernandinho. But then Fernandinho spent most of the first half against Monaco wondering what on earth was going on. Yeah. They were all moving around him in a tent. I wonder whether or not what the solution might be, that both Fernandinho and Toure sit and he only goes with one
in front, whether it's De Bruyne, whether it's Silva, yeah. whether or not he uses De Bruyne or Silva wide and only picks one of Sterling or Sané.
Yeah, unless he plays Yaya Touré a bit higher than what we've seen Yaya Touré play under Pep. Because Liverpool, I mean, we did a really good job of picking his pocket at Anfield. And you get the impression that Jurgen would probably quite like him to play, to be honest.
Absolutely.
And you can imagine that team sheet going in and it's only a little chat. We know what we're doing now. We know exactly what we do. They play it into him, and as that ball's on the way, we gamble and we just keep gambling. And we take it, well, not every time, but we're going to take it off him and cause them no end of pain. And I think Jurgen will want him to play, and that's why I would be surprised if he does that. But I wouldn't rule out because of the reasons you've stated.
On the Reds then, very quickly, there aren't that many selection headaches, it looks like, for me, and he's going to be back fit. I'd be surprised if he doesn't just come straight back.
Oh, in. 1,000,000%, yeah, he has to go.
And then the next one on that is that Lovren looks as though he got an hour in the under-23s on Monday night, so you'd expect that he comes straight back in.
Again, yeah, as long as there's no reaction, which you wouldn't. Liverpool aren't going to release that, even if there is one during the week, for obvious reasons. That is such a big game, but yeah, you'd like to think that he comes straight back in as well.
So then it just becomes about the midfield, and it's not even about the midfield selection. There's no Henderson, so it's going to be Chan with Wijnaldum and Lallana, and then it becomes how that shapes up, whether or not that's a 2 and a 1 or a 1 and a 2, and the fact that that may well change during the game. And I wonder whether or not that's going to actually, what you said before, the team sheet goes in, the Manchester City team sheet goes in, and it might only be then that Liverpool decide whether or not they're certainly starting the game with a 1 and a 2, with Chan holding and Wijnaldum and Lallana in front, or if he moves Lallana, as he did against Arsenal, deeper to sit next to Emre Chan.
What would you do now?
I'd on the side, if the City team sheet comes in and it's Touré with Silva, with De Bruyne, and with the front three that we, Sterling, Sané and Aguero, then I would probably err on the side of sitting in and turn the game into the physical battle, the one-on-one battle between Touré and Lallana. If it's Fernandinho and Touré, then I actually think you can make the argument to say, well, what you don't want is just be sending Lallana on a fool's errand where he closes Touré and Torre's just able to broadly pop it off. Now, we know Firmino works hard coming backwards, and it's more flexible than that. But I would be... It's the difference between what you saw Liverpool do against Arsenal and what you saw Liverpool do against Tottenham. Against Tottenham, they took on Wanyama and Dembele as a two, Wijnaldum and Lallana, and they dominated them in the early going. So if it's going to be a two, then I think you want to try and dominate the two with your own two. If it's going to be a one, then I think that would suit Liverpool more. Then you almost say, all right, lads, we're going to hold this, but we're backing Adam Lallana, that he's going to win more of them than he's going to lose.
Yeah, I think because it's a bit of a free hit for Liverpool, I think Jurgen and his backroom team say Arsenal, Burnley, City, if we're in 6-7 points.
Yeah,
we've done really well. If we get 9, unbelievable. And I think for that reason, he may be tempted to say, do you know what, at least first 20 minutes, we have Chan and we get Wijnaldum and Alana doing arguably what they do best. And do you know what? We've got plenty of time in the game to change that, depending on what we need to do. Would you let that run for 70 minutes? Depends on what's happening. But certainly first 20 minutes, I don't have a problem with them doing that at all. And to be fair, as long as Liverpool don't pick up any injuries and Liverpool put in a great performance without being defeatist about it, this is probably our last free hit of the season for me as well.
Yeah.
So there is an opportunity here to really land a huge blow without there being too much of a negative, and this is our last chance.
I've spoken throughout the rest of the show, but it's hard to put over exactly how big a game this is in the context of finishing not just in the top four but arguably in the top three for Liverpool, because you look at how the rest of the fixtures play out, it puts Liverpool in a position where they have to almost throw it away at this stage. Certainly if they take 6 points from City and Everton, they have to throw it away.
100%, and I think with any other manager it'd be a little bit different, but I think with Jurgen, you can easily predict and imagine the conversations he's having internally at saying there is absolutely no pressure in the next 2 weekends. This is just the best opportunity. Imagine we'd have said in the summer, we've got 2 games coming up. We've got a damaged Manchester City coming off the back of an absolute hiding.
Having travelled
as well. We've had the time to repair. We've got all the memories of the last few games against them where we've done really, really well. Traditionally, we have quite a good record against City home and away as well. There's so many things in his favour. You can just well imagine him being so positive and trying to get the Liverpool players up for it and saying, do you know what? What's the worst that'll happen? We've got plenty of time to bounce back from anything that happens. All the pressure's on them, but we've just got to go in. We've got a massive opportunity to seal this now.
Okay, huge thanks to Sean Rogers. Let's go and find out what everyone else thinks. Great to speak to Sean as ever. John,
He's saying the interesting thing for Liverpool is whether it's a 1-2 or a 2-1 in centre midfield against Arsenal. You saw it be a 2-1 where Ronaldo at least started the game a bit deeper next to Chan and helped Chan through the game, and then Chan grew and grew as it wore on. Against Spurs, you saw it be a 1-2 where Ronaldo and Lallana got at Dembele and Wanyama in these big games and made the life very, very hard indeed. You can say it might depend on what team sheet Manchester City put in, but what do you think the Liverpool manager is going
to
do?
I think he'll ask Ronaldo to play a little bit deeper at least at first. I thought it was telling with the interview he did with Match of the Day 2, where he was basically saying he wasn't completely happy with everything that Emery Chan was doing in that game off the ball. And
it's a great interview, that, wasn't
it? It's a great interview, and he doesn't slaughter him, and he sort of, as much as admits as well, he's got a lot on his plate, and I think that he's got a lot on his plate thing.
Made me think I want to play football for Jurgen Klopp, because he seems like he's going to help you, but he's very understanding.
Yeah, exactly. So I think they'll just, especially when you saw the team that Man City put out against Monaco, and it's basically five attackers, wasn't it? It was 2-3-5, old school. Yeah. Carl's era.
Now we're talking.
So I think you'll be looking at Dan and thinking, you know, it's not the end of the world if Genie has to play a bit deeper. And Genie's an intelligent player as well. He's one of the smartest ones we've gotten. So he'll be able to pick his moments to get forward. And I think that still gives you a front four. That was difficult for me, though. That looks able to press. And, you know, I don't think having winner them slightly deeper means that you can't press them on the ball. I think you've got four players who are very good at it ahead than we're all expecting Firmino to start. I think that gives you the best of both worlds, really, in my opinion.
Adam, I was quite aggressive with Sean on the idea that, for me, the key battle might actually become, I understand his point on the fullbacks, but I was, for me, I wonder if the key battle could well become Yaya Toure versus Adam Lallana. That if, however Liverpool line up, you feel as though Liverpool are going to look to pick Torre's pocket, using Lallana as much as possible because of how much City play through him. And I take Sean's point that City, Pep Guardiola may decide not to start with Yaya Toure, given what's happened in the past, but he doesn't start him against Monaco. And so you would think that maybe he's got one eye on legs there. If that's the case, Lallana is yet again in a big game this season, and there's so many of them, he's going to be absolutely integral for the Reds.
Yes, and I thought it was interesting that he had to grow into the game a little bit against Burnley, and I think that those sort of, you know, in inverted commas, lower teams are the ones that, you know, Lallana doesn't quite have the same influence over.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's because they aren't too bothered about dogging it out, and they also don't want possession, and I think he's at his best when he's closing players down and nicking the ball off them.
Lads who want the ball, exactly. Lads who want to hold the ball, have another touch, have a look, whereas if you're playing for Burnley, you just think, I'll clear this out.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that is precisely what Yaya Toure is. I think if people, I mean, look, he's a fantastic player, but I think if people think that Emre Can can be a bit slow and lumbering sometimes, it has nothing compared to how long Toure wants on the ball and wants to have a look around and do stuff. So I think Lallana, you know, if he's on his game and if he's playing as well as he has in some of the big games, that could be really interesting. As you say, it's intriguing that Pep didn't play him against Monaco, and whether or not he'll bring him back in, because, you know, he does like the legs, he does like rotation, but he also knows Monaco would probably have done that to him as well.
Well, exactly, and that's the thing, Carl, is that he doesn't play him against Monaco, which does make you think to yourself, well, he's not picked him against Monaco because he got overrun the first leg, so is that therefore just tactical? And is it also therefore equally tactical to think, well, I'm not going to play him against Liverpool either because they might try and do exactly the same thing? It isn't as though Monaco haven't explained to everybody, as a couple of other sides have this season, this is what you do against Manchester City, you do loads and loads of this.
Yeah, you sit on and make sure he can't turn and just deny him space. I think he is going to start, to be honest. I think they're going to rather risk a strong 90 minutes than two average 90 minutes and just make him work, particularly for the first half, when I imagine we're just going to, you know, weather the storm for a bit, and then after 20 odd minutes just push on, and that's when we need to get in soon, really.
They're a strange side to me, City, John, and it's this. I was talking to Steve Graves last night. I had a pint with Steve Graves. It was good, John. We should do it more often.
Yeah,
and,
what a fella.
And one of the things he was saying was they're in a bit of a funny position, City, because they've either got lads who are towards the end of the career and their time at City.
Yeah.
Or they've got lads who are sort of looking at a 10-year career. So if you imagine you're in a European game and you've got someone like Dirk Kuyt, who is not extraordinarily talented, who sort of knows on a core level, this could be the last chance he ever gets to play at this level, in that the Liverpool manager might decide he doesn't fancy him anymore, or My point is that there's you need to have a few footballers in your side who in every game feel as though their back's up against the wall in some way. Whereas City have sort of not got that anymore. They've managed to get themselves in. If you're Raheem Sterling there last 10 the other night, you're thinking, well, I've got 10 years of Champions League. With the greatest respect to him, because I think he's a fabulous footballer, but he's thinking, I've got 10 years of this, of last 16, last 8 games in the European Cup. I'm always going to be here. Whereas they don't quite look like they've got that strain. And now the rest of the season's up in the air for this, because these lads know what it is to challenge for leagues or win leagues. And now all of a sudden, it can be hard for you to think when you've got to recalibrate your brain and go, we're just in this dogfight now, this is all this is. And I think that that's something which they're a funny side because of that.
I think all teams struggle with that, the idea of suddenly you're fighting for something and then you're not, and getting your motivation. And I think you've seen it a little bit with Liverpool this season, although they've bounced back. But I think it's especially the case for City because of the reasons you've just highlighted. We spoke to Ahsan Naeem from City Watch, which is a Man City podcast, earlier in the week. Was it early in the week or last week? I don't know.
Early in the week. It's been a long week, John.
Yeah, it has been
We haven't tried to sell the Xabi Alonso interview yet. We're going to do that in a minute. Come on.
Earlier in the week for 50-50 Football, which is one of our new podcasts. I'll sell that. It's free. but we spoke to him about that. And what he said was he was really impressed with how Pep Guardiola had managed to motivate a big group of players who were out of contract in the summer, and it was something he spoke about, and he said he was really worried about it a few months ago, well, how many of these players were out of contract, but he said that they've been playing well, they've been looking motivated. And although that's a positive, this might be the moment where if you're out of contract in the summer, you just start to, your motivation just starts to slip away a little bit, really, because you haven't got this Champions League part, you haven't got this, well, it looks like we could have a real good go, because I thought City were looking good for the semi-final, at least. So then you never know, because it feels like the most open Champions League in years. Now suddenly they're out and they're looking at it thinking, well, we could scrap for fourth, but I'm not here next year. So, you know, I'm sort of, you know, fighting away for someone else's prize. And so I think it will become a little bit difficult to motivate those players who are thinking, well, it's probably not for me next year.
Isn't that Leicester? That's the reason Leicester went through.
Because if you're Jamie Vardy, you're playing against Sevilla, you're thinking to yourself, this is the last time I ever play this match.
It's the last game of his career, pretty much, if you think about it, because he's not going to be there ever again unless he gets sold to someone next year, which is unlikely given this season. But I think that's why City just took the foot off the gas, because I thought with City, they get to a semi-final, they lose a semi-final, that's progress. It'd be a shame they didn't go to the final, obviously, but that's progress. They've got to that stage, they've gone a stage more than they've done before, and then they can start looking at things, because obviously, because success is incremental, you move up to Leicester's unusual, obviously, just going from 16th to the champions, but so they go up that way. And I think that's the reason why Leicester basically, you know, won that game, just because I thought, well, literally I've got 20 minutes to save my career here.
This is what my career is worth.
We beat Sevilla. That's something that and the titles is something I remember. But Man City, you're absolutely right. Leroy Sané, he'd play for every single season he'll play, is probably going to be in the Champions League now.
I think it's a really interesting thing. I think old Brighton says something like that to after the game, Johnny. He actually almost says, I knew that it felt like it was now or never for me.
Yeah,
you know, if you're Mark Albrighton, this is it right now. And that's a hard thing to put over.
Yeah, it is. And it's a hard thing to understand when we're looking at footballers and thinking, well, they should be equally motivated for every game. And, they pay X amount of money and stuff and things like that. And I think footballers are human, and they get used to the money and get used to certain challenges as well. And I was really worried about this game earlier in the week, I'll be honest. I thought we were going to get beaten. But now...
I still think that we might get beaten. There's still a chance we might get beaten quite badly, because they're
course,
a good side. They could score four.
Yeah. I know Klopp's said today in his press conference that he thinks it's the toughest game of the season, Man City, in terms of how they play. And I think what he means by that is, you know, you... Look, Chelsea aren't going to bat here, but City might. You know, they might give you a really tough afternoon. And so I think it's a 50-50 game, which, again, you take, and it feels like a better chance, because Monaco have showed how you can get at them. And we did it last season there, and although it's a different manager, it's a lot of the same players. And so you feel like if things go our way, we could really get at them. We could cause them a lot of problems. But then they're thinking the same. They're looking at their attacking talents. I'm sure they've seen how we've defended at moments recently and thinking, well, you know, our pace, we could really get at them. So it feels like a toss up for me, but that's a better position than I was about it earlier in the week.
Okay, we've sort of got off the point a little bit, Adam, but I've quite enjoyed it. It's been a nice chat, and there is on the point. I'm looking for a prediction. I'm also looking for how you think Liverpool should approach it.
I think it would be football suicide to go there and sort of try to play really attacking. I think we have to be as sensible as we can I think they are prone to being hit on the counter. I don't think that's a bad thing for the way we play. Hopefully, do we know whether Firmino's back? Is there any
to talk as he's going to make it? Yeah.
So you know, Mane and Lallana causing trouble in the middle, like you say. I think it'd be silly to go there other than having the two at the back in the midfield, like you said before. Prediction wise, I might have to double bluff fate and say 3-1 City.
Okay, Carl.
I don't think we've got a choice. I think they're going to batter us for 20 minutes because they're going to be angry. There's going to be a sting because of Monaco. And I think if we weather that out, we can hit them on the attack. But it is the hardest game, I think, of the season because they are just so unpredictable. And I'm going to go for 1-1.
Okay, John Gibbons.
I think we're going to win. I think we've got to be a little bit more aggressive than what Adam's saying. I think, you know, there's times to press and there's times to kind of sit in, and you hope they find the balance and you hope they work for each other and scrap. But look, our record against the top teams is good this season, and it's good for the reason. And I think they switch on when they need to, this team against good teams. And I think there'll be chances there. You know, it's 50-50. I don't see a draw. I can't see a draw. And I'm just edging towards Liverpool, maybe 3-1.
Okay. A huge thank you to John, to Adam, and to Carl. Sean Rogers as well, and Heather Carroll. On the Anfield app this week, we were made up to get Xabi Alonso interviewed. John did it. With Andy Heaton, they went out to Munich to interview Xabi Alonso. We've also spoken to Jamie Carragher about Xabi Alonso and other matters. The Jamie Carragher thing is available for free at theanfieldrap.com. Xabi Alonso, it's a 50-minute interview. It's fantastic. It's behind the paywall, £5. You get all the other stuff you get if you listen to The Anfield Rap, all the quality Liverpool talk, everything that you need, really. Theanfieldrap.com/subscribe. There's loads and loads of shows, but also not only are there loads and loads of shows, but we think they're all pretty good. Some of them are absolutely fantastic. Some of them, yeah, they're pretty good. But the point of it is that we very much back the quality of these things. It's not just that there's a lot of them, it's that they're good. And you don't have to listen to them all. It's very much like thinking that you have to watch all of Netflix or something like that. You really don't. It's a variety of different things and you'll find what you like. So if you get the opportunity this week, please have a little look. TheAnfieldRap.com/subscribe. Thanks to everyone. Thanks to Xabi Alonso for doing that as well. This is The Anfield Rap, and I think Liverpool are going to go to Manchester City and win, by the way. Sports Social Podcast Network.